Let me just go ahead and set the stage for you and maybe remind you of some things. Number one, we found out that if you are a Christian, that healing power that you've been searching for and thinking you've been looking for, it's actually already on the inside of you. Right? So, I mean, this dead-raising power, this tumor-dissolving power, this blind-eye-healing power, this power that'll create a new heart and create a new lungs and it'll straighten the spine, that power you've been searching for, the hospital doesn't have it, the doctor doesn't have it, the world doesn't have it, but God's got it. And you know what? He's not holding out on you. He put it on the inside of you when you got into Jesus and Jesus got into you. So you got this power on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And not only that, you brought God into this building. Amen. We're not one of those that have to pray for the Holy Ghost to show up. When you walked into the room, the Holy Ghost came into the room. Because you are a carrier of God. You're a carrier of God. You're the temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know what? And there's angels. There's more angels than there are people in this room. And they like to give stuff out. They like to be dispensers of things. Come on, they take things out of heaven and they bring it unto you. Come on, dispensing anointing, dispensing graces, dispensing abilities, dispensing resource, dispensing healing. Come on. I mean, this right here, right now, it's a powerhouse filled to the full and overflowing with the power of God. Anything and everything can happen in this place right now. Right now. In Him is life. And that life is the light of men. And that life is in me. That life is in you. And it's just itching, ready to do something. The angels in this room are just itching, ready to do something. They're ready to scratch something, you know, just let's do something. I told your pastors a story this afternoon at lunch. I was reminded about when we were still pastoring in Bryan College Station, and there was a little boy. He was 4 years old at the time. His name was Nicholas. And this family had been coming to our church for a few months, and it was a regular Sunday morning, but we were having miracles happen. It was just a regular Sunday morning for us and what we were going after. Well, they called us a few days later and said, hey, would you mind if maybe we had dinner together? We wanted to talk to you about some things. And so Lacey and I, we got together with his parents and we were eating dinner. And then he said, the dad said, now look, I just want to be honest. He said, we're not real religious people. He said, we just started coming to church, been learning some things. We don't really talk about Jesus, God at home. You know, we're just kind of getting into it. He said, we were sitting down after church on Sunday having lunch. We were kind of talking about church, and our four-year-old son was there. And our four-year-old son, Nicholas, in the midst of the conversation, he said, did y'all see Jesus today? And the dad goes, now remind you, we're not real religious people. And we don't talk about God and stuff at home much. You know, we're getting better. But he said, I looked at my son, and he said, what are you talking about? And the boy said, Jesus at church today. And the dad said, well, where was Jesus? And the little boy said, he was on the stage with the big people. Now, our church at the time, we would keep the kids out during the worship and then we would send them out. So he was out there during the worship stuff. And the dad said, well, what was Jesus doing on the stage? Get this, guys. Little four-year-old Nicholas says, well, when the big people raised their hands, Jesus would reach his hands toward them. Come on. Worship, praise, surrender of all my problems, surrender of all my working. Come on. Surrender of me getting outside of grace and now be getting back in because I just give it all to you. I'm casting all my cares, my worries, my concerns, my sickness, my disease, my mental issues, my impossibilities, casting them on over to you. He said, when the big people lifted up their hands, Jesus was reaching out his hands. Friends, I'm telling you that to tell you this. You may not see what's going on in the spirit realm, but there's people, there's things going on standing there ready to dispense things into your life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, miracles are going to happen tonight. I mean, the stage is set. Everything that is needed, it's here right now. It's here right now. We're going to see some people get set free physically. Come on. Emotionally, financially, mentally. It's time we get free and stay free. And like Pastor said, if you're here and you don't have anything going on, you know what the good thing is that this is also for you to take to somebody else. I love that the fact that the Great Commission is actually pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed here. And we're doing the same thing in the area of healing. It's not just for you. It's for you to take it out there. And you combine this with this wonderful gospel message, because healing and salvation, they go together. They're buddies. So speaking of that, those buddies, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 5, where we started this morning. And we'll pick back up there today tonight and kind of remind you of a few things and then go a little bit different direction, but still on the same lines. Luke chapter 5, this is a story about the paralyzed man that was dropped through the roof. Now, I want to read, we're going to read this out of the New King James like we did this morning, but I want to read verse 17 to you out of the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation, and for those of you that, you know, I understand it's not a word-for-word translation, okay, so don't get upset, but I want you to hear what it says. I love this. It says, verse 17 out of the Passion says, one day, many Jewish leaders, known as Pharisees, along with many religious leaders, came from every village in Galilee, throughout Judea, and even from Jerusalem to hear Jesus teach. And the power of the Lord God surged through him to instantly heal the sick. Jesus, he's a God of now. If salvation is for now, forgiveness is for now, healing is for now. And I'm not just talking about for today. I'm talking about now. Instant. Jesus didn't preach a recovery message. Every time with Jesus, now, 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 now. That's what we expect. That's what we expect. If we can expect people to get saved, now. If we can expect people to get forgiven, now. We can expect healing to happen, now. Right now. Come on, right now. Just because of what you walked in, you're a carrier of with right now. Just because of the angels that's standing right now, right beside you. Just because of this word that we're preaching right now, things are beginning to happen in bodies right now, in chairs right now, in this place right now. Right now. That's our expectation. Why? Because that's Jesus. He's the way. He's the standard. Don't care what you've experienced in the past. I don't care what other people have said. No, Jesus is the way. He's the standard. And what I see is Jesus as a standard, that things happen now, 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 now. Amen. Things are happening now. It says the power of the Lord, it was surging through him. Why was it surging through him? Why? Because he was a carrier. He was a possessor of the life of God. And you right now are a carrier. If you are in Christ, you're a carrier and possessor of that life right now. Inside your spirit is just surging. Just like the electricity that's going through the conduit in the walls. It's just back in 2005, I had this. It was kind of like Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. It's October 2005, and it was about a two-week time period, and I've just been just seeking God as far as what we were to do. I knew we were getting ready to start our church. I just didn't know when, and So I was just really seeking God for direction and had some really supernatural things happen over this two-week time. And I was spending some extra time just praying and seeking God. And this one particular night, I went to sleep. And next thing I know, I'm in heaven. And the very first thing that I noticed was not all the beautiful things that are around me. The very first thing that I noticed was what I felt in me. What I felt in me was this. I felt a surge of power on the inside. It was almost, you know what a TENS unit is? It was almost like my whole body was hooked up to a TENS unit. It wasn't painful, but I felt it. I felt it just going through my entire body. Just, there was a surging emanating through my body. It was the life of God before I even knew what that was. It was the power of God. It was the life of who He is and all that He is surging through me. Come on, we read it this morning and over there in Romans chapter 8. There's going to be a revealing of the glory that was on the inside of you the whole time. We're all going to get there. And unfortunately, some people are going to see that was on them the entire time. It was electricity. John G. Lake called it the lightnings of God. The flashes of God. The power of God. Just almost kind of like you're a plug just ready to plug into somebody else's body and just poof and release what you have. But isn't it interesting that people began to find out that about Jesus? If I could just touch him, poof, something was going to come out of him. But then we learned this morning that, hey, I'm not the sinner trying to get to that. I got that on the inside of me. Sometimes you might just need to touch yourself in a good way. Touch yourself. Boom. Touch somebody. Boom. Something like you're a bug zapper. Just. The power of the Lord was surging through him to bring instant healing. Well, we read the story this morning that they brought this paralyzed man through there. And in verse 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. They're forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? And he said, which one's easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Jesus said, which one's easier? Which one's harder? He said, forgiveness, healing. Which one's easier? Which one's harder? They're the same. When Jesus told the paralyzed man, you're forgiven, he was actually saying, you're healed. But the guy didn't understand it. But Jesus said, which one's easier? And we saw this morning that number one, you know, if you were to put him in an old-timey scale, that they would be the same. Now, the modern Christian would think forgiveness would be here and healing would be here because forgiveness is easy, it's light, it's small, and healing is hard and difficult and big. And this is the reason that we've struggled in the area of healing, because we think it's hard and we think it's big and we think forgiveness is easy. And so that's why we're very bold to talk to people about forgiveness. But then we question it when it comes to healing, because we're not sure if it'll actually happen because we see it as big. But Jesus said what? They're the same. And what you see Jesus letting him know is that when you get forgiven, that's also when you get healed. And that's why 1 Peter 2:24 is actually true. It is actually true. I know many of us over the years, we've heard it so long and we've confessed it so long, we begin to wonder if it's just so some good little spiritual statement because we haven't really seen the results, but it is true. It is true. Jesus said they're the same. And once you get forgiven, then righteousness, like we saw this morning, righteousness is what puts you in the position for that healing to flow. Righteousness is not only to affect your spirit, it's also to affect your body. It's also to affect your body. It's also to affect your body. So let's flip on over. We spent some time on that this morning. Let's flip on over to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at a few more things regarding this righteousness. Romans chapter 4, we mentioned this morning, we didn't go to it, but Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our what? Because of our justification. Jesus was raised because God saw you and I at that moment justified. He saw us as righteous. He saw us as what? Complete, forgiven, right? If you go on to Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned. Notice that with these people, death was reigning not because of what they had done. Death was reigning because of their identity. Death was reigning because of their position. They were a sinner. Why? Because they were sin. And they were plugged into the curse. Well, if you continue reading, verse 15, it says, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded to many. Verse 17, very familiar. If by one man's offense death reigned through that one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So you see grace and righteousness, now it puts you in a position to win. Hallelujah. Not when you die and get to heaven, right now. Friends, there's too many of us in the Christian circle who think that death is our savior. Think about it, it'll ding in a second. Death is not your savior, Jesus is. I don't get the victory when I die, I got the victory when I died, and I got born again. And I became enchristed. The victory is mine. I can start reigning now because I'm right. And my righteousness is far greater than the wrongness in this world. My righteousness puts me in a position to right the wrongs in the world. And your body is of the world. Think about it. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. This is identity. This is about their identity. They were a sinner. They were made to be a sin. They're made to be sin. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made what? Righteous. We talked about this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You were made right. You weren't just given righteousness. You were made to be right. You were made to be forgiven. You're made to be healed. Healing is a part of your identity. It's a part of who you are. It's not something I'm trying to possess. It's something I already have because it's me. It's me. And it goes on to say, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense would abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You could say healing abounded much more. Where sickness and disease abounded, the divine healing power of God abounded even more. Right. Friends, I'm telling you, there's some actual real diseases that are going to come down the pipeline here in the next coming years. Come on. Some things that the world will actually really be scared of. And I'm telling you, as those things are happening, there's something on the inside that we have that can cause some things to abound even more. Come on. 2020 exposed the church. It exposed the church for who we are. The world found out we were a bunch of spineless cowards for the most part. We preached the message and didn't really believe it. 2020 and 2021 was a time for the church to stand up and say, hey, we actually have the answer. But the church was screaming, hey, you're not recognized as being relevant. You're not recognized as being essential. Well, why would you be essential to the world when you don't have something that they need? Now, I know they need the gospel message. They need Jesus, but they don't care about that to a degree. They're looking at natural things. Well, the church, for the most part, has been broke, so we can't help out financially. Thank God we're turning that around. But also, we haven't been doing so well in the area of healing either. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the church actually took its place in our position? And when the world's going bonkers over sickness and disease, we could actually boldly say, we've got the answer. I have the answer. I have the answer, and it's free. And there's no side effects. And it'll take care of it now. What would happen if we actually believed that? What would happen if the government actually started calling the church and say, could you please help? What if we got to the point where the government actually looked to us instead of Pfizer and Moderna? And like, because you know what happens? I've been over to Africa several times, over to Kenya. You know what? The government goes to a witch doctor before they'll go to a medical doctor. That's a fact. They will go to witch doctors before they'll go to a medical doctor. Well, if a witch doctor, if they could do those things and it's just counterfeit, come on, it's just counterfeit, it's demonic, it's of the occult, it's witchcraft. But if they could produce something like that, that would get the attention of the government. What about the church who has the greater one on the inside? The greater one on the inside. Greater is he that's in me than any sickness, any disease, any virus that's in the world. What if we actually believe that? What if we actually believe I'm the righteousness of God? And what's in me is so right, it'll right the wrong. What if we actually believe that the life of God that's on the inside of my spirit, that's wall to wall, top to bottom, all the way around, that's on the inside and just, what if we actually just believed? I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle. Here's my spout. Tip me over. Pour me out. Some life on a cancer, some life on a COVID, some life on tuberculosis, some life on paralysis. What if? I don't know about you, I grew up in church and we used to sing this song. Went like this. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well. Down in my soul, spring up a well that makes me whole. Oh, oh. Feel like I'm hitting puberty right now. My voice is from this morning. We sung that song almost 40 years ago. We didn't believe it. Oh, we sung it. And back in the 80s, even did a kangaroo hop, you know. We did a Jericho march with it. We didn't believe a lick of it. But look at the revelation that was in that song sung in our churches. Make the lame to walk, the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captives free. I've got a river of life coming out of me. COVID hit. Oh, no. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Let's quarantine. Was funny.
verse 21, he said, so sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to life. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Notice this phrase, that just as, it means in the very same way, to the very same degree, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also, we should walk in the newness of life. Just as Jesus is living right now, the new life Jesus is experiencing now, you and I are to experience right now. The newness of life, a new type of life, just as. Jesus is a spirit, you're a spirit. The only difference is the body. He's got his glorified body. You've got your mortal body. It's the only difference. Some of you might just need to get up and run and shout a little bit right now. Some of you just need to laugh the pain out. Just laugh it out. Laugh it out. Come on, there's some of you came in here with some joint pain. You check it out, you'll find out it's gone right now. Check it out, I guarantee you it's gone right now. It's gone right now. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Sometimes you shout it out, sometimes you laugh it out. Come on, where some of you have some arthritis in the knees and joints, ankles? Come on, you might want to check it out right now. I'm telling you. There's healing power flowing. This may be a little unconventional for you, but I'm telling you, power's flowing. Power's flowing. Power's flowing. Power's flowing. Power's flowing. Power's flowing. Come on, there's some lumps and growths that are dissolving right now. Power's flowing. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin would be done away with, that we would no longer be a slave of sin. Now, wait a minute. This ought to get you a little excited here. Remember, there's a sin and sickness connection. They're buddies. Where you see sin, you can also substitute it with the word sickness. Why? Because sickness and disease is the fruit of the root. The sin of Adam produced the curse, produced sin, sickness, addiction, depression. So you could substitute the word sickness, and you're not taking away or adding to. The body of sin was done away with, that we would no longer be a slave of sickness. We'd no longer be a slave of disease. See, when you're a slave, it tells you what to do. And if you're a sinner, if you're sin, then sin's telling you what to do. Why? Because you're over here in this kingdom And your spirit is plugged in to this kingdom. And what's in this kingdom, this life and nature is flowing in your spirit, your sin. You're a slave. You have no control, no say. But when Jesus saved you, when he redeemed you, when he justified you, when he made you righteous, he unplugged you. And he came over here and he plugged you into life. He plugged you into grace. He plugged you into righteousness. So you would no longer be a slave to sin. You'd no longer be a slave to sickness. No longer a slave to disease. You're no longer a slave. The roles got reversed when you got born again. You went from being a master, a slave, to now you're a master. Now you get to tell sin what to do. And we're okay with that. But you also get to tell sickness what to do. See, we talked about this morning. Satan can't make you sin, and we believe that. But you sit there and say, well, Satan can't make you sick. Christians go, I don't know about that. It's almost like we don't believe we've got control over disease. Because, you know, it's just a part of life. It's just out here. Yes, you do have control over it. Amen. If you've got control over the root, you got control over the fruit. Verse 7, for he who has died, how many of you died? Well, he's talking about you. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And if you've been freed from sin, you've also been freed from sickness. You've been freed from disease. You've already been made free. But a lot of us are trying to get free, but he already made you free. It's no different than this morning. A lot of us are chasing after freedom and forgot we've already been made free. You'll never find in a cemetery someone that's struggling with an addiction. You'll never go to a cemetery and find anyone that's struggling with porn. Struggling with mental disease, struggling with their emotions. You never find anybody struggling with cancer. Why? They're dead to it. Well, in one sense, you are dead men walking on this earth. You're dead to the things of this world, but you are alive unto God. You're alive unto him so that all that he is can flow through you. You've been freed from it. The Greek word here, freed, it literally means this. It means rendered inoperative from sin. You have been rendered inoperative. Sickness, disease, sin. It has no control over you. It has no control over you. Why? Because you're dead to it. Come on. The next time, you know, the news starts talking about, you know, COVID-27. you just need to look at the TV and said, you're dead to me. You're dead to me. You are dead to me. You're dead to me. You are dead to me. You can't control me. Come on. I can walk through all this junk, and 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 may fall at another, but because of who's on the inside of me and who I'm in, nothing can touch me because I'm dead to it. 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 I'm dead to it.
I'm not trying to get free. Jesus made me free. I'm dead to these things. I'm dead to these things. But friends, let's just be honest here. Let's do a little bit of analysis of ourselves. If we're reacting and responding to the world's problems like the world is, it shows us we don't believe we're dead to it. That's why you can be saved in your spirit. But if you still have cursed thinking, you're still going to get cursed results. Even though your spirit is plugged into life, if your soul is still plugged into the curse, your body is going to follow your soul. And this is why so many people are struggling and thinking God's holding out on them. God isn't holding out. He plugged you in. You as a spirit, and that's why you have to understand you're a spirit. He plugged you in. But what you do with your soul is going to determine what you walk in. Because this is why Paul makes this statement here. He said, verse 10, for the death that he died, Jesus, he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Likewise, you also. What do you mean likewise? He's saying you're going to need to do what Jesus did. Verses 1 through 9, he gives this great little mini sermon on redemption and righteousness and what happened for us through salvation. But now he's letting you know, these are the things I just told you that happened in the spirit, in you as a spirit. But now you're going to have to do something with your soul for you to experience what's in your spirit. He said, likewise, you also reckon or consider yourself to be dead to sin. He just got through telling you you're dead to sin, but now he said you're going to have to do some considering that it's true. Now, why would you have to consider that you're dead to sin? Because every numbnut out here is trying to tell you you're still alive unto sickness. You're still alive unto disease. You get out there and talk like that, then I'm dead to it. And they say, who do you think you are? I tell you something, you know. Who do you think you are? And I'm talking about people in the church. I didn't even get to the world. The greatest debates I've had in this is church folk that don't believe it. Who do you think you are? But why would you have to consider it? Because everything out here is telling you you're still alive to sickness. You're still alive to disease. You're still alive to COVID. You're still alive unto cancer. You're still alive to diabetes. You're still alive unto arthritis. You're still alive to all of these things. Come on. Jesus was even having to renew his mind because everything out here is telling you you're just a man. Everything out here, including his brothers and his family, is telling him, you're just a little carpenter from a little town. Everything out here is telling him, you're not the Messiah. You're not the Son of God. You don't have the life and the nature of God. Jesus was doing some considering too. You know, the Bible says that Jesus grew not only in stature, he also grew in wisdom. And we don't have time for it, but you can see even Jesus progressing in his dominance over nature, progressing in his dominance over sickness and disease. And if Jesus was going to have to do that, you and I are going to have to do that too. He said, likewise, you also, you're going to have to do some considering. You're going to have to do some renewing of your mind, changing of the way that you think, doing something with your soul so that what's in your spirit can affect your body. Doing something with your soul so that what's in your spirit can affect your finances. Doing something with your soul so that what's in your spirit will affect your family, affect your community, affect your church, affect your life. See, you can get saved and go to heaven and still go through hell on this earth. Or you could get saved and experience heaven while you're on the earth. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, it's a scripture that's not preached because nobody wants to touch it. But Jesus told Nicodemus, he's standing before him at midnight in his little robe and his dirty sandals and dirty, stinky feet. And he tells Nicodemus, I'm from heaven. I'm going back to heaven. But heaven's where I'm at right now. Jesus said that. What was he doing? He's living out of one world while walking in this one. He's accessing one world while walking in this one. He didn't see himself as alive to sickness and disease. He didn't see himself in the perspective that the world does. I mean, when he went to raise the dead, he looked at it just as I'm going to go wake somebody up. He didn't see death as a big deal. He saw healing a paralyzed man just as easy as forgiving somebody. Jesus' perspective was absolutely, totally different. And this is why we have to change our thinking. Thank God for salvation and what happened for us in the spirit. But if we want to reign in this life, we're going to have to do something with our soul. If we want to do what Jesus did, and he gave us the resources, but we have to start thinking like Jesus thought and seeing like Jesus saw. Paul said, likewise, you also do some considering that these things that I just told you about are actually true. Why would you have to consider something to be true that's very obvious to you? It is. Anybody ever woke up in the morning and went to the bathroom mirror to primp and prep and look how sexy you are and do some considering that you're a human being? I was going to say whether you're a boy or a girl, but today, you know. But what if the Bible told you need to do some considering that you're actually an elephant? Why? You're going to have to do some serious considering, because everything I'm seeing in that mirror is telling me you ain't an elephant, you're a human. Well, everything out here is telling you that you're alive unto sickness. You're alive unto disease. You're going to have to do some considering of who you are. You are right, righteous, complete, whole. Perfect. Says over in Hebrews that Jesus, he made just men perfect. Well, but you don't understand what I did. It's not about what you did. Now, there is a difference between perfection and maturity. We're all working out our salvation. We're all maturing in the things of God. But even while we're working it out, God still sees you as He sees you as right. And that's why Paul said you're going to have to do some considering. Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let it reign in your body. Don't let it reign. He said, therefore, because you have control over this, don't let it reign in your body. See, you have what happened to you as a spirit. But then he said, if you want to see a change in the body, you got to do something with the soul. Amen. You got to do something with your mind. You got to do something with your perspective. He's trying to get you to change your perspective. Look over here at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it made me free. It set me free from the law of sin and the law of death, the law of sickness and death. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. They set their mind on earthly realities. You know, Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, he said, set your mind on the realities of heaven. Where Christ is, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. You've died. You've died. Set your mind on the realities of heaven. Paul's constantly talking about doing something with your noggin, doing something with your thoughts. Come on, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know this. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the will of God. Not so God can prove, so you can prove the will of God. You can prove it. You can prove it. You can prove it. He said, you set your mind on the things of the flesh,
Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, but to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. If your thoughts, if your perception is on what's normal for the world, it's going to produce death. Even though you're born again, you're still going to experience death. If you're thinking like a... Come on, you're still going to experience some of that curse if you're thinking like a cursed person. Come on, if you're thinking like the sinner who's trying to get to Jesus, then you're going to think, I'm still alive under this mess. I'm trying to get rid of it, even though he's telling you, you've already been made free and you're a master over it. He said, you're going to have to intentionally set your mind. You're going to have to intentionally do this. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded, it is life. It is life. It is life. It's Zoe, the life of God. To be spiritually minded produces what? Life. To be spiritually minded, it does what? It releases life. Releases life. Releases life. So it really comes down to what? Your focus. What has your attention? What are you connected to? See, we're always connected to something. And whatever you connected to, that's what's going to flow through you. Whatever you connect your soul to, that's what's going to flow. That's what's going to flow. It's about, what are my eyes on? What has my attention? What has my gaze? What has my focus? And it's going to take intentionality. It's going to take consistency. What has my focus? Because what my soul's connected to, that's what's going to flow through me. And I'm telling you, friends, Satan is always going to be there to bring these thoughts and these ideas and these suggestions. See, if how does he make you sin? He brings thoughts and ideas and suggestions. He brings temptations your way. He brings these thoughts. Because he can't make you do anything, and he knows he can't make you do anything. So he brings these thoughts and these ideas and these suggestions to try to get you to lock in on it with your imagination. So if you'll just think about it long enough so that you see differently, just like with Eve, then all of a sudden with my soul, I just connected back into the curse. And then that's how sin begins to operate in my life. He can't make me sin. I've got to make the choice. Well, then how does sickness and disease work? The very same way. He's bringing these thoughts and these ideas and these suggestions. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, just something for you to chew on. Maybe, just maybe, the pain that you felt in your body, the growth that happened to show up, all these little things that begin to prick at your body, maybe, just maybe, they're a thought, an idea, or a suggestion. So that with your imagination, I look at that and go, I wonder if that's serious. I wonder if that could be cancer. I had that pain in my heart. I wonder if it's heart disease. I wonder if I'm susceptible to a heart attack. Well, you know, I know my dad and my grandpa, and I've got some of my family that, you know, had some heart disease and had some things. I might need to go get that checked out. Now, I'm not saying whether to go to the doctor or not or anything like that, but think about it. Again, I'm not giving medical advice, so don't take it that way. I'm just something to think about. So we go, well, maybe I need to go to the doctor, get that checked out. So I go to the doctor, we check it out, they tell us what it is. And we say we don't believe it. Because we say, well, I need to go find out what's going on so I know what to put my faith against. But then I go in there and they tell me what it is. And in reality, I put my faith on it. Because if I didn't put my faith on it and believe it, then I wouldn't be leaving to tell everybody, I need you to be in agreement about this. So in one sense, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, just something to think about. But in one sense, I put my faith on something just so I can leave and put my faith on what I just put my faith on. Just trying to get rid of what I just accepted. Let's say it's right or wrong, just something to think about. What am I doing with my imagination? What am I doing with my imagination?
What am I plugging into? Here, I'll talk about me. You know, we don't like, y'all okay with talking about me, so. People get a little quiet, talk about that stuff. I'll still talk about me. So there was a situation several years ago. I haven't been sick in a very long time. But there was a situation about 5 years ago. We were still pastoring and we were going through a building program and we needed lots of money. And then I met with a contractor and found there was a boo-boo and the fire marshal didn't like us and he changed some things up. And so it was going to cost us another $500,000 and we needed it in 2 months. And we didn't have it. And I consider myself to be a faith guy, miracle guy. I turn into a mouse. I usually do really good at controlling my thoughts and this and that and casting down imaginations for about 3 or 4 days. Because of all the other things that were going on, I just stopped. And I allowed my mind just to go everywhere. And all of a sudden, I began to think about the contract that I'd signed. And if the money doesn't show up, I'm going to jail. I'm going to lose my wife. I'm going to lose my church. You know, I'm going to be in the newspaper because I signed that we're going to pay this and I don't have the money. All these things are going through my mind. And I'm really starting to worry and get in fear for several days. One night, I'm in the shower. And I get in there and I start putting soap on my arm. And I look down. And I had broke out in hives. I didn't know what it was. I just looked down and thought, leprosy has come upon me. I didn't know if I'd committed the same sin as Miriam, griping against God or something. I looked down, I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? And when I noticed that, all of a sudden my throat began to swell up. I was having a hard time swallowing, a hard time breathing. And I yelled out, Lacey! And Lacey comes running in there. She said, oh my God. And it wasn't because she was impressed. She said, what is wrong with you? I said, I don't know, but I can't breathe. So she ran and called one of our friends at church, and she told her what was going on. And she said, that's hives, and whatever the medical term for what was going on in my throat, smarter people than me know. She said, you need to get him to the hospital now. This was like 11:30 at night. And I don't like going to the doctor. And me and Lacey fought for a few minutes while I'm trying to breathe. So I'm not going. I ain't going to the doctor. I'm not going to the emergency room. So we argue for a few minutes, but I started getting so scared because of what was going on in my throat because I was having a hard time breathing. I said, fine, we'll go. So get dressed, we get in the car. I mean, Lacey's flying to the emergency room. And we're about 20 minutes away and I'm sitting there just struggling, just. But then all of a sudden it hit me. I knew it was my fault. And then I got mad at myself and I got mad at the devil. Because I realized, it hit me, that for the last couple of days, I've been over here in fear and worry, and I've allowed my soul to get connected over here. I forgot about the realities of heaven and who I am and what I have access to. And I began to worry and worry and worry, and my consciousness and my awareness was on natural, worldly, cursed things. And so we pull up into the hospital parking lot. It's almost midnight now. Lacey's unbuckling, hurry, trying to get out. And I said, stop. And she said, what? I said, hang on. She said, no, we need to get you in now. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not fighting with you, you know. I'm thinking, you're 100 pounds. You ain't doing nothing with me, but. And I said, look. I said, give me 10 minutes. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, look, give me 10 minutes to practice what I preach. Because I was feeling convicted. I mean, you know, pastor, seeing miracles and this and that. And there I am, look like a leper. Can't even breathe. Going into the hospital in town where people know miracles are happening in our church. I said, give me 10 minutes to practice what I preach. She said, no. Should we argue it again? I said, give me 10 minutes. I said, if it 10 minutes is not gone, I promise you we will walk in there. She said, fine, I'm giving you 10 minutes. She set the counter on the phone. And so what I did, I had her put on some just
I pulled up on YouTube, put up some little piano music, just some soft instrumental piano. And I sat there and I closed my eyes and I began to use my imagination. And I began to use my imagination. I wasn't even trying to make anything happen. I wasn't confessing anything about healing and this and that. I just began to put my mind on my imagination. And I began to see myself sitting there at the right hand of God in Christ. And I began to see myself with my imagination, just putting my hand on the throne. And with my imagination, just seeing the spiritual substance flowing from him and flowing into me. Just using my imagination just to see on the inside, just this. Just almost like when you go to the doctor and they hook you up to the IV and this just drip, 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 just flowing into you, flowing into you. That's what I sat there doing. God is my witness. I didn't hit the 10-minute mark. I don't know how long it was, but it was before the 10 minutes. And at one point I looked at, or no, actually, I was doing that. All of a sudden I felt my throat go. And I looked down, all of that was gone. I mean, all of it was gone. Now, I didn't know much about it. I went online and Googled some things afterwards and found out when that breaks out, it's usually there for a while. It's usually there for a while, sometimes weeks. And I got real bold and cocky and looked at Lacey and said, "Take me home." What are you doing with your God gave you an imagination. I truly believe our imagination is a doorway into the supernatural. Come on, if you can imagine yourself sick, you can imagine yourself healed. If with your imagination you can open up the door to plug into the curse, with your imagination you can all of a sudden turn around and unplug and plug back into life. Come on, it tells us in Corinthians, casting down every thought, every high thought, every imagination, all those things that go contrary and against the things of God, go contrary to Christ, casting those things down. Why? Because all Satan can do is bring a thought, an idea, and a suggestion. He can't make you sin. He can't make you sick. He's trying to tempt you. And yet the Bible says he's a liar. There is no truth in him. If he's telling you that you aren't healed, that's a good sign you are. It's all about what am I doing with my soul? What's my focus on? What's my focus on? What's my focus on? Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, "Abide in me. I abide in you. You abide in me." This isn't just about your position. This is about your soul. Abide. This is where you see in Psalm 91. We like to quote Psalm 91 all the time. There are wonderful promises there. But you know what? Those promises are for the people who dwell. It's not just for anybody and everybody. It's for the dwellers. It's for the abiders. 1,000 fall at one side, 10,000 another. It shall not come near you. Not for anybody and everybody, for the dwellers, for the abiders, for those that are conscious and aware of him. Come on, no evil, no plague or calamity come near this tent. Not for everybody and anybody, for the dweller, for the abider. That's who that's for. That's who that's for. This is a continual thing, and it's a work. It's something we continually do and we continually work at so that we're always ready. We're always ready. So when that stupid little trying to be roaring lion comes around looking for who he can devour, we slap him upside the head. Come on, you and I should always be ready to raise the dead if necessary. Come on, we got to start thinking like that. We got to start thinking way up there. When Jesus gave the command to the 12 and to the 70, come on, he said, go preach this kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils,
cleanse the lepers. He didn't give any qualifiers. He didn't talk about any certain special anointings. He didn't say big sicknesses or little sicknesses. He didn't call Peter and John and say, I give you a certain anointing for cancers. He hit James and some others and say, well, here's a certain anointing for kneecaps and shoulders and ankles. And he said, heal the sick. What I have, I give unto you. It covers everything. There was no qualifiers. There was nothing to give them an excuse to say, I can't do it. And he said, raise the dead. We don't want to talk about it. We don't think about it. But I'm telling you, we got to always be ready. There's going to be people coming to your life. They're not going to have time for you to fast and pray 21 days. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying we got to be ready. Always ready. Always ready. Always have a message to preach. And always have a power to release. But how am I always going to be ready? Very intentionally, every day, working on my thoughts, working on my imaginations, keeping myself plugged in to Him, dwelling there, abiding in there, so that fruit will always be produced and I don't have to try to work up something. That's how you can always tell somebody ain't there, when they think they need to work something up. But if you dwell there, if you abide there, if you make that your life. Let me show you something here. Then we're going to lay hands on some of you if we need to. Some of you, if you want to run, shout, run. Run, shout, run, dance. Come on, some of you have been holding out on me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Says they journeyed from, this talking about the Israelites and Moses, they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea. They'll go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of the Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and our soul, it loathes this worthless bread. That's some stupid folk right there. Come on, you ain't having to cook. You don't have to do nothing. Just walk outside. And you pick up your food. I mean, you got DoorDash back in the wilderness. Supernatural food from heaven. And they called it worthless. We loathe this. What happened? Well, the gripers get the vipers. God does not like complaining. I don't like it either. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they bit the people and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, they came to Moses and said, hey, we're dummies, we sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray the Lord that he would take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who's bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now think about this. Everybody's being bitten. People are dying. And Moses makes a bronze serpent and puts it on a pole. I mean, very much so a type and shadow of Jesus. But why was it a serpent? Why wasn't it a lamb? That serpent represented the curse. That serpent represented sin. And here you again, you see this sin-sickness connection. And you see a healing and forgiveness connection. He said, tell them to put their gaze, not just glance up at it, put their gaze on that pole, to intently and intentionally keep their eyes focused on that pole, focused on that serpent. Now look, there was not denying the things that were going on. But in the midst of snakes crawling all over their feet and all over their legs and biting them and chomp, 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 Pac-Man and all on their feet. He said, in the midst of that, just keep your gaze there. In the midst of that, abide here. In the midst of that, dwell here.
In the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of all of the circumstances that are going on, in the midst of all the doctor reports that are coming your way, in the midst of all of the government reports that are coming your way, in the midst of all of the reports of wars and famine and economic disparity, in the midst of all the rewards, all the junk and all the reports of this disease and that disease and this virus and that virus, if you'll just keep your gaze on that pole, on the serpent of the pole that represents your redemption, that represents your righteousness, that represents your forgiveness, that represents your healing. I'm not telling you to deny everything that's going on around you. But in the midst of everything that's going around, if you'll just keep your gaze right there. And in the midst of keeping their gaze, it was only the people who kept their gaze that didn't die. It wasn't the people that was just around. And the pole's there and the serpent's there. It wasn't because they were there. It was the ones who did something with their perception. It was the ones who did something with their soul. The ones who did something with their focus. The ones who did something with their consciousness. The ones who did something with their imagination. It was those that dwelled there and abode there. It was those who were healed and forgiven. Sin got them in the problem, but their gaze got them out of the problem, and their gaze got them healed. And there's a lot of us today, our gaze and our consciousness and our awareness has been on everything else except what was put on that pole. Except you and I got something even better than what's on that pole. You and I got something to look at on the throne. And the wonderful thing is, you better run and jump and shout and dance on this one. Because you're seated on a throne. And all you got to do is look right here and put your gaze right here. Because your daddy is right here. Your father is right here. And you are seated way far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, all sickness, all disease, all virus. You're seated far above. You're seated far above. You're seated far above. And you don't even need to look down. You just need to look left. Because you're seated at the right hand of God in Christ in heavenly places. Come on. The throne room is your abode. The throne room is your dwelling place. That's where we dwell. That's where we live from. That's where we pray from. That's where we minister from. That's where we lay hands from. That's where we raise the dead from. That's where we cast out devils from. That's where we cleanse the lepers from. That's where we heal the sick from. From the throne room of God. Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Woo! 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 Hallelujah! 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 Come on, it's time we become kingdom-minded. Because that's our home. That's our home. That's where we were born from. That's where we were sent from. It's where we were sent from. It's where we were sent from. You see, too many times we see ourselves as earthlings. You need to see yourselves as aliens from another world, another planet, sent from heaven into this world to dominate it, sent into this world to right the wrongs, sent into this world to save the sick, save the lost, Saved and sent. Saved and sent to break the chains that are binding. Saved and sent into this world. Come on, you ought to use your imagination right now to see yourself when you were raised up, because he saw you as justified and he raised you up. And then he made you to sit down in Christ. In Christ. Come on, when the Bible says that he brought you near, I'm telling you, he brought you near. God set you down right beside him, right next door, right next to the firstborn among many brethren. So that you've got access to everything that heaven has to offer. Come on, if some of you have been weak in your body and you need a little jump, kind of like your car, your battery kind of gets weak and you need a jump. So what do? You get the jumper cables and you hook it up to something that's got some power, something that's got some life. All you need to do with your imagination is to take your jumper cables and put that left jumper cable right there. And see your father and to see that life just beginning to flow through you right now. And if you're about to minister to somebody, just keep your hand right there and take this other jumper cable and put it on that body that needs some life. Put it on that body that needs a release of life in it. And feel that begin to flow in your body, come in you and go through you. Your imagination. Do some considering of really where you're from and where you can go. You're a citizen of heaven already by birth. And where you're from, you can access whenever you want.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.